All right, we're still in Luke 10. Where do we stop? We stopped about in verse 9. Well, just again, we have to get it in context. Verse 3, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. Salute no man by the way. To whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as they eat set before you, and heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Actually, it says the kingdom of God is here. Kingdom is basileia. It means the area in which a king rules. This is another one of those things that I thought I had God, because let's go to Mark 1. It's really kind of interesting that Jesus did not begin his ministry until John the Baptist was imprisoned, and then shortly thereafter beheaded. You all know about Masada, that big mountain with a mace on top that was the famous because all the Jews committed suicide rather than be captured by the Romans. Well, the northeast corner, there was it was almost like a mesa, but then there was a little outcropping, and Herod built this incredible temple there, home, palace, whatever. And it was started by Herod the Great, and then the different Herods finished it until now we're at the bad Herod. And remember, there's all the different Herods that were the family of Herod. Well, that's where John was imprisoned, in this palace, if you will. And they had it was apparently a humongous birthday party for Herod. And that's where Salome danced and asked for the head of John the Baptist. And now, he started, that was after he was in prison, but very shortly thereafter, he was beheaded. Now, this is the temptation of Jesus is finished. And then verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, what I thought I had got on was, if the kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of Messiah is one of peace, then it's contradiction to say that there is a that God is in charge of the kingdom that's such a screwed up kingdom. In other words, what I'm saying to you is that that scripture couldn't be true by what I had seen at first. But then when you see the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdom of God is within you because the New Jerusalem came down on Pentecost, and the kingdom of God is out of time and space. Satan is the god of the time and space. Now, he's obviously, Satan can only do that which God lets him do. But this was really important. This is a biggie for me to understand that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. It will never look like we think it should be. And all these, there's a huge part of Christianity. They're called the Dominionists or the Reformationists, that believe that they have to take over the government, the school system, all of the local school boards, everything, before Christ can return. Now, it's interesting, that's obviously a heresy. But the same heresy is in Islam. They don't believe that their Messiah, their Mahdi, can come until Israel is destroyed. And so all these different things and ways of thinking that make their interpretation of Scripture based on what they see instead of seeing through, they all require destruction, and of either in one case destruction of Israel, or in Christianity's case, this doesn't just mean in America, it means in the whole world. They've got to take over everything before Messiah can come. Now, so the idea that the kingdom of God is here is almost not preached. And yet that's the first thing Christ said. Behold, time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Yeah. Preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. So, unfortunately for me, I really got pissed off at this because I thought I had God again.
Get your life back.
I could get my life back. But anyway, kingdom is basilia, God is theos. Now, normally, Jesus is never called God. Jesus is called Kyrios, Lord. And remember, Lord means owner. So you can't be in the kingdom of God unless you are totally and completely owned by another person, by the person of Jesus Christ. Your life is gone. Now that's a biggie. We're going to take a side trip. I'm sorry. We got to take a side trip. What?
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
God, I've just been waiting for your approval.
The day has come.
Let's go to Genesis. Some of you have heard me talk about this before, but that's all right. You probably forgot. Chapter 32. Verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Now, I can't overemphasize enough the idea that Jacob never ever used his name. He always said he, wherever he was introduced as son of. And the reason is the word Jacob, no matter, they call it, if you look in most of the commentaries, they say it means the supplanter. But it's much worse than that. It's the way of the snake, the Antichrist. And so, watch what happens. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will," this is Jacob speaking, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said unto him, the angel said to him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. And therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Now if you remember, the word Peniel in Hebrew means Peniel is face and El is God, the face of God. Now within every mammal, within every animal, there is a... When I was in school, it was called the pineal body, because, and it's right in the center of your brain. It's shaped like a cone, and they thought it was a part of the vestigial organs. There were some 26 vestigial organs that supposedly proved that evolution. And so, fingernails, hair, a lot of other things. But this, they've now found that the pineal, it's no longer called the pineal body, it's called the pineal gland. Now, it's exact center of your brain between the two halves. And that is the place where I believe when you totally repent that your guidance comes from that place alone, the face of God. And so, but there has to be total emptiness. You totally remove yourself from the equation because you've seen that all that your mind can do is bring you to this place of, and Jacob was left alone. No matter what you do, you'll be left alone. No matter how many thousand people you're around, you'll be alone. And the loneliness, in this case, because it was emphasized, he was left alone and the loneliness was toxic. Now, some of you still experience that. And I'm saying to you that the only way to not be left alone is to understand and confess that you are Jacob, or you are the way of the snake. That's all the best that your mind can do. And so by total repentance and total emptiness of self, then your guidance comes not from the seven mountains and all of these counselors, the 70 counselors that you have in all men's mind, your Jerusalem that now is, but because you've abandoned it. There's no emotion that you pay any attention to. There's no thought that has any merit. Nothing except that emptiness, so that pineal body can be activated. And therein is the face of God. And that's what this is about, if you have eyes to see. But the repentance has to be total. You can't repent a little bit over here and then go back to the way of the world over here. It has to be 100% repentance. That's what it means, because you can't preach the kingdom of God without living the kingdom of God. Do you understand? Now, it doesn't get any more radical than this. You don't try to die to self. You are dead. You reckon yourself. You see it. You see that the flesh and the mind have their your mind is the only enemy of God in time and space. So until you know that, you can't repent. You can say, I'm sorry, but that's not repentance. That's the repentance of the world that leads to sorrow. But the repentance of God is repentance not to be repented of. And that's the only way you stay in this new Jerusalem. That's the only way you live, because you live. Remember, we've gone through this. Go to Deuteronomy something or other. 26. Now this is what we read every time when we did the first fruit offerings, which I think we should do, start it again if we're not doing it. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein. So most people know that there is an inheritance. A handful know that they possess it, but a minuscule number dwell therein. So you think your Christianity is based on periodic highs. They just did a study, by the way, in megachurches, crusades, where there's thousands of people together. And they proved this, what I've been, we talked about this many times. But you get the same kind of high from that group experience as you do in a rock concert. And that high they call the anointing. And all it is soul power. It's really the first and second stages of hypnosis. Hypnosis shouldn't be one word. It's six or seven different stages. The first stage of hypnosis is when you suspend critical judgment. And what, by definition, when you attend, you've suspended critical judgment. The second stage, well, I won't go into all the stages. That'll take forever. But it's 20% of the population in general are what's called somnambulists. And they can be hypnotized instantly. And just about anything that you say, they'll do. If they expect to be slain in the spirit, they will be slain in the spirit. If they expect to speak in tongues, they will speak in tongues, no matter what it is. Because that's That's the mechanism of this group psychology. It's group think. So anybody, we did it. We took a guy off the street and taught him to be an evangelist. He duplicated the same things that they do, and he was a pagan. I mean, we've got to see this so that you're not deceived. You don't say, oh, here's the anointing or there's the anointing. The anointing is wherever he is, and then it has nothing to do with groupthink. But groupthink is a high. And they had, and you have to go back for more. It's just like a drug. Amen? So what does this all mean? Don't be deceived by watching what something else happens. You have a unique position in the kingdom of God, but it can't be manifested until first you know you have an inheritance, you know you possess it, and you dwell therein. That's the reason for time and space. Now, for some, it takes a long time. For others, it's instantaneous. But you've got to see that that's where you're going. That's your inheritance, that you dwell in this place. That you're the first source of everything. You can't have a need. Amen? But this is what the effect of repentance is. The kingdom of God is here. Time has been fulfilled. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody live it? No, I got to think about this. What is there to think about? It's either true or not true. If it's not true, then 2 Thessalonians says you should, and that's what I preach, then you should run. Let's go there. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, coming is parousia, which can either mean coming or presence. By the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Now that's all I've preached for 40 years, is that the day of Christ is at hand, is here. So this is a biggie. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away and apostasy first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The only time that anybody shows, it's defined what it means to show yourself, what does it say? So that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. The only way that, and this is a very simple definition, to say as God, it's you judge for yourself good and evil. That's what, that's the whole idea. That's the end result of the eating of the tree that knows good and evil. So by definition, every man is the instead of Christ. Every man and woman are they're the son of perdition, the man of sin. That's why there had to be both the trespass offering and the sin offering. The trespass offering is for what you do. The sin offering is for who you are. But the sin offering requires your death. But you can't know that until you know that you're the man of sin. You are sitting in the temple of God. You are the temple, showing yourself that you are God. You don't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks you're a fool. But you make those judgments, judging good and evil, and you just live the Antichrist. Anybody understand that? Kingdom of God is here.
The rub to me is it doesn't come by observation, so you can say it's here, but you can't see it. You can't look at somebody and say, well, they're not the kingdom, and they're the kingdom. I mean, that doesn't happen. It's not even allowed.
But what do you do? What do you see? What do you see when the man of sin is gone? You see the perfection of his holiness wherever you look. You see it's finished. You see already every knee is bowing, every tongue is confessing that he is Lord. They don't know they are. You see the New Jerusalem. You see Christ is all and in all. You see God is all and in all. You see Satan is defeated. The man of sin, the strong man, has been defeated. Therefore, the little demon in you, the instead of Christ in you, can be. Let's look at that. Matthew. I don't remember where in Matthew. Maybe 15 or something like that. Where is it? Oh, I know where it is on the page, but I can't find it, the right page. Ha! Matthew 12. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, what does that mean? It means Satan had to be defeated before the evil one in you could be destroyed. Do you understand that? Satan is gone. He's been totally defeated. And that's the...
We can't blame him.
No, it's you. You're the only one. Your mind, and that's why you can't use your mind to understand Scripture. The only way you'll understand and have the revelation of Christ is by repentance, total repentance. Now we're going to start, well, I'm already out of time. We're going to start in the next few days a real in-depth study of repentance, but first in the Old Testament and then the New Testament. Because we'll come upon that in verse 13. But the kingdom of God is here. It's not coming. It's here. Now you can say you believe that, but you have to live it. Repentance should be easy. You must know that your mind has never been your friend. The purpose of your mind is to keep you alone. To keep you thinking, well, if I can do this, or if I do that, or if I did this, or if this could happen, and then, boy, then. It's all a lie. And you know that. So why do you keep paying any attention to this idiot? It's never been your friend. He had the appearance of being your friend for short times because you got some, but it just goes away as soon as you get what you thought you wanted. So this was repentance 101. The kingdom of God is here. What?
John the Baptist, the way it talks, people walked up, he said, repent, and they repented, and it was over. I mean, and I know that's just a ridiculous. But that's kind of what it seems to say. But I'm wondering what was really said to lead them to repentance.
Well, you know what he did. He brought them to the other side of the Jordan River. Remember, the Jews believe the same thing Baptists believe. Once saved, always saved. And so, and the salvation is by just confessing you've made a decision for Christ or whatever. But what he did, you got to hear this. The Jews believed that they, by birthright, had entrance into the kingdom of God. Never was true, but that's what they believed. John, that's why it's called the baptism of repentance. He caused them to go to the other side of the Jordan, physically, so that in that physicality, they were confessing, not just with their mouth, but with their very bodies, that they weren't worthy to be in the kingdom of God. And then they came, and this is what we do, so you know. They went down in the water. He didn't hold them. They went down in the water, one at a time, or maybe more than that, who knows. They faced what's the other side of the Jordan, the not kingdom. And they symbolically returned in the water, and they while they were under the water and they felt the weight of sin, the weight of the water, and they're hard to breathe, and they while they were under in that fetal position, they turned and they looked up and saw the sun shining through, and then they arose from the fetal position out of the water. They were born again. No, that's physicality. And they were mockers on the standing that didn't believe it. And they were all Pharisees and Sadducees because they didn't understand the parable. They literalized the parable. It's so simple. You're buried in baptism. If you weren't buried, including your mind and your emotions, so that you can pay no attention to them anymore, then you weren't baptized. You just got wet. You're buried in baptism. It is really so simple. You know what goes on in your minds. You know. You don't need me to tell you. You know, it's nothing but crap. Having the capacity to think things up and the inability to do it. You're in money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little you get, God blows on it. Anybody have any other response? Everybody, by your silence, you must agree. Take it, big guy.